It's always a wonderful day for me to think of how many points of gratitude my mother earned, and just to think about her and send her blessings, even though she's in a wonderful place now of, I'm sure, heavenly gardens. And I think about all the good times we had, and that translates into so much love. It goes way beyond just the unique and particular love of a mother. It translates into how we relate to the universe, how we relate to nature, and how we relate to our beautiful Mother Earth. And so on this day, on May the 8th, when we celebrate Mother, we also will be blessing our Mother Earth. And we know that in our blessing, we will gain an immense amount of support and nurturing and healing from the connection we have with our beautiful Mother Earth. I hope that all of you have a great day. It is warming up all over the Northern Hemisphere, but of course in some parts of the Northern Hemisphere, summer is just a warmer version of rain. But at any rate, I know that you chose to live where you are because it suits you. And our beautiful Earth is spectacular and awesome from pole to pole. Whatever the season, whatever the condition. And I know that we have suffered from some major healing traumas of our beautiful Mother Earth recently, with some storms and earthquakes and tsunamis and other, well, crises of acknowledgement, shall we say. That's really the way I like to look at it, because we're at this point in time where great changes are needing to occur, and yet we're making these changes on top of some old rigid patterns and old fixed and rigid expectations that are traumatically interrupted when the changes occur. It's a little bit like the difference between a three-year-old falling off of an ottoman and virtually bouncing on the floor versus an 80-year-old sliding off of the ottoman and breaking a hip. And even though the three-year-old may scream more, there's no damage done whatsoever. It's just a little hiccup and a learning experience in how to be a little more balanced in life. With our 80-year-old, there may be no screams at all. And she may say, "Oh, honey, it's all right, just call the ambulance." But there's been a major hurt that has to be dealt with. Well, you see, we're in this brittle condition right now where we have to be prepared to help our mother make some changes, help her make some adjustments, and understand that even though our Mother Earth is perennially forever young and renewing herself, she does have these cycles that she goes through where adjustments can be traumatic. And so we offer her our blessings and our love in return as we seek blessings from her. So we are enough into our time together today that I would like to open a call to anyone who would like to have a question or a comment. And I see that Tom is checked in. Tom, before I bring you on, I'd like to tell everybody else how to open their call, which is to press 5 and then star on your telephone. Okay, hi, Tom.
Hello, Glenda. How are you? Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
I've been blessed. I was I still blessed with a wonderful mother. She's passed, but, you know, she had 5 girls and 3 boys, and she really taught me the beauty of nature, taking us camping, and she was a wonderful gardener, had hundreds of rose bushes, and I'm just forever grateful for the beauty of the earth that she brought to me. My question today is very specific. When an incident happened, and as soon as it happened, I've got to ask Glenda. I happen to be in a group of friends and where I go, and there was one fellow there who was sharing something, and he was just having a crummy day, you know, and he usually does have a crummy day, and he just seems so down, and I didn't want to connect with that energy at all, but I thought to myself, well, you know, I should offer him a blessing, you know, so in my mind and heart, I did that, and things went on, and there was no apparent effect and so forth. Well, then, after we were all kind of milling around the parking lot, some very nothing incident happened, and this guy, focused on me and just about bit my head off for no good reason. And yeah, I apologize or whatever. So that wasn't a significant thing. But the question that came to mind was, do you offer blessings only when they've been requested? Or, you know, part of me says, you know, if you offer somebody a blessing, if they haven't asked for it, they won't receive anything they don't want. On the other hand, I can see how, in a way, it might be an invasion of their free will. You know, he may be in the middle of working something out, and this blessing energy might mess up that lesson for him. So,
Tom, that's a very good question, very good point. I really actually recommend that where individuals are concerned, we keep the blessings we offer very, very general. And not focused upon trying to fix something about that person. Because it's really up to them, to that person, to express how they want to fix life, fix themselves, or improve their condition or their attitude toward life. And you're absolutely right. Some people are in the condition they're in because they feel that they're justified in being in that, and you may have interfered with something that he's clinging to. And so it was a good lesson. It was a good thing for you to understand. But at the same time, when you see someone in a condition that is obviously not optimum, you can offer a blessing to well, let's say to all of the forces that surround and protect him, that whatever he needs, may his needs be supplied.
Oh, I like that.
And that way, if he just needs to suffer more, then that too will be supplied.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I like that a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we have another caller from area code 206. You are on.
Hey, Glenda, it's Frank.
Hi, Frank.
I just wanted to say that I was online last week and I'm going to be graduating from college at the end of this month, and I've been really worried about getting a job and finding a place to live and, you know, all the usual concerns. And I forget who it was, but there was a young lady on the line who was having significantly larger issues than myself. That what you told her really rang true with me. It was really helpful to sort of put things in perspective.
Well, I'm glad. Well, first of all, Frank, I want to congratulate you that you're about to graduate. That's a major accomplishment, and I hope that you will just enjoy that. First of all, and I wish you many, many blessings on enjoying and really embracing every achievement you make in your life. I really, really have empathy for all the young people on our call, and actually on our blessing calls, we have people ranging from their teens into their 90s. And so this is wonderful. It's wonderful that we really encompass such a spectrum of reality experience. And each one of us at each stage of our life views reality a little differently. One of the luxuries that my generation and older generations had is that we could see a little further down the road, whereas there are so many changes occurring in the world today that your young people are driving on some very curvy roads, and you can't see as far down the road as we could. But there's a blessing to that also, and embrace the blessing that at every turn of the road, you will have opportunities you couldn't even have envisioned in your childhood. And that there are opportunities. There will be fantastic opportunities. And a lot of the things that you find to be so discouraging that didn't get resolved in my generation, that is your parents' and grandparents' generation, that you're going to be able to come, you will be the answer. Well, maybe you can't see how you fit in that yet because the answers haven't been presented. But the best way to discover the answer is to be the answer. Allow yourself to be the answer, and do that by embracing every accomplishment you make. Embrace every day that you have. Embrace every new, good, wonderful idea that comes to you, because there's a seed of the future in it. Even though, like I said, you can't see around some of the curves in the road as well as we could. But that's just because the earth is changing so quickly. Now, I can tell you that my side of the coin, which was very different when I was a girl, was, oh my God, when will things ever change? It was like driving on the Great Plains of Texas, and I could see forever, and it was all the same. It was like, oh, when will we ever get to a bend in the road? So you see, we all have a different opportunity to embrace either frustration or love or grace. And yours just looks a little different than my generations did. But I think your generation is a very exciting future. So just remember to be more in present time. That's where you'll find the answers, because the fact is you are the answer. And that is very, very closely connected to my message that I want to bring today. But before I do, and by the way, Frank, did that help?
Yes, it did.
Great. And I'm going to look and see if anybody else has a comment or question. Remember, press star and 5 if you do. And I don't see anybody else on the call. Oh, there's lots of people on the call, but nobody else who's got the... Oh, here we have someone, a great, courageous person from area code 281, and you are on.
Hello, this is Ann from Seabrook, Texas, and I have a comment.
Hi, Ann.
I wanted to tell you that many months ago, when you first started doing the blessings, during one of the transmissions, I had my eyes closed and sitting in the back, on my back porch. I've got a wooden bench that I was sitting on, looking at my grapevines that are growing in my backyard. And when I opened my eyes, it was as if my grapevine leaves were etched in gold leaf. And I suddenly realized that artists that do that gold leaf on the edge of leaves, that kind of art, must have seen what I had seen, because everything just looked so beautiful and really looked like spun gold. And I saw colors that I had never seen before, and I'm just really grateful for that experience. It was just a very enriching experience, and I just loved what I saw, and I've not seen it since, but yet I am more in tune with the colors, and I can feel the energy of the grapevine and the trees and the nature around me, and I just thought it was a very profound experience that I've enjoyed ever since.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that, Anne. And that's so so relevant to the energy of this day, because all of life and all of the plants and the animals and the life energy of our beautiful Mother Earth exist primarily in an energetic form. And as you know, of course, all plants live on sunlight and photosynthesis. And as the energy of the plant interacts with the light, it's a little bit like a prism. It can give off rainbow light. It can give off this radiant, beautiful color that we can see. When we've pulled ourselves up to a little bit higher perspective, and that just tells me that you had really been bathed in the energy of Christ and the Holy Spirit, and you were in that energy to where you could focus and see the energy of life around you. And that's just awesome. That's beautiful. And I want to remind all of you, as a result of Anne's comment, that all around us are many, many frequencies of energy, from the tiniest, subtlest frequencies of the atomic energy and subatomic energy, to the energy that we feel when the wind blows upon us, or we walk through the forest and the tree leaves are blowing and we feel that energy, or we see squirrels running up the tree. All of this is energy. It's all energy on every level. And all five senses are built to detect primarily those forms of energy that nurture and suit our survival and our pleasure and our personal growth and consciousness. And we are born with all five of these senses, but we know also that latent within the human body are many, many more senses than just the five we normally see and regard as our visceral senses, such as touch and smell and vision. But we also have a sense of gravity. We have a sense of weight. And our autonomic nervous system has many senses that affect us unconsciously. We know that there are other life forms, such as whales and dolphins, that can hear sonar. We know bats can pick up radar. Dogs can hear sounds we don't hear. Cats can see frequencies of light we don't see. They see in infrared and ultraviolet light, which allows them to be better hunters at night. And so we're reminded that the whole of our universe is a grand transmission station. And a lot of what we receive has a lot to do with how we tune in to this grand transmission system. And one of the things that we are doing in the blessing is amplifying, enhancing, and focusing that transmission system through you in the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit to bring more of the blessings of the universe to you and to amplify your prayers so that whatever you're praying for will be conveyed to its point of destination with more efficiency, more rapidity, more completeness, more assurance, and more fulfillment. And so we're really just, it's sort of like Christ has given you your special radio station and your special dial-in number where you go and you can tune in to these frequencies more and you bring them into you more. And so obviously you did that, Anne, and it really opened up your other senses. Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to go out and all of us become clairvoyant or clairaudient or cultivate the esoteric perceptions. That isn't necessary to have a completely fulfilled life. But what is necessary is that we open our receivership and our expectation of being loved, of being cared for and to know that you couldn't and wouldn't have ever been put here in the first place had you not been very, very loved by the Creator and had you not been received in a very loving way by the earth that nurtures and supports you. So that's really the mechanics of this blessing. And actually, it's been a while since I've discussed the mechanics of this. And just in the event we have a few new people, let me go over this again. I want to prepare you by saying that there are many blessing givers here, and I'm so glad that you are. I can tell because I have your names on my dashboard, because it's Mother's Day, and it's a very special time to be offering a blessing. Thank you for that. And, of course, you know the protocol, but for those who may be new, we remove our shoes and socks, and we allow our feet to be either in the open air, receiving the air, or preferably touching the ground, the carpet, the floor, wherever you need to sit. We're sitting in the blessing, and the reason we're sitting is because instead of lying down is because we want to use the forces of gravity to pull all of the subtle energy through your head down to the base of your spine. We want to relax your legs, which are used to supporting you. Your legs do a lot of work in supporting you. And we want your feet to connect with the earth and be reminded that it's actually the earth, the whole earth energy, that really is your support. So we want to gain the support from the earth, relax your legs, and have your spine erect to receive this energy. And your head being the uppermost point in all of this acknowledges our consciousness reaching out to infinity, to the cosmos, to God. And we open ourselves to that flow. We bring it into our heart. And as that energy pours through our heart, it crosses over and magnifies the blessings, the prayers, and the desires we have placed in our heart. Don't worry if you don't think about everything you want, everything you need, because God already knows your needs. What we do to undermine our prayers is we tend to disconnect from one part or another of the universe. We can disconnect from God because we believe, maybe we're temporarily, at least in the mindset of, well, God let me down. I had this prayer and it wasn't answered. I don't even know if God loves me. Or we disconnect from the earth because the earth has been a source of pain. The earth has been a source of hardship, we think. It really is not. But ever since the first time we fell down and scraped our knees as a kid, we have a source incident that says the earth brings pain. And that child is still hurting. And then sometimes we disconnect from our heart because the deepest feelings of our heart have been broken. So one part or another of us we've disconnected from, and we're a little bit like, even if we're not a broken chain, we're a chain with some links that are kind of spread apart. Where if we pulled on it too hard, it might break apart. So what Yeshua is doing is he's putting back this whole chain, the chain of life, because really it is our wholeness that produces the healness, the healing. And always, he would say, it is by your wholeness that you are healed, and your faith has made you whole. So I ask that you bring your faith into the blessing, the faith of a little child. Just be here and receive. And many of you will have a profound experience your first time, and others will have a lovely experience, but it may be four, five, or six blessings layering one on top of the other before you have received enough to say, wow, I feel different. I'm feeling put together again. I don't know how it happened, but thank you, God. Now, my role in all of this is to be like your grounding. You see, Yeshua has chosen to use me to be the grounding conduit so that he can bring this energy in for you. For me to be the human connector that allows you to have that synergy of the blessing coming from another human being. He will be with you. He will touch your feet. He will touch your heart. He may touch your head. You may see him. Some of you do. You may feel him. Others may only feel the love and just a subtle good feeling. It varies from person to person, and it varies according to what you're able to receive. And that brings us to the last important point that I want to talk about. We've been talking about receiving the last 4 or 5 weeks. We've been talking about how we open the diaphragm a little more, how we breathe deeper, how we take in, how we inhale more fully, expand the lungs spiritually, metaphorically speaking, how we expand our lungs more to take in more of the breath of God. So that's how we've been focusing lately. And it really all comes down to faith and trust and love. And not just faith, trust, and love of God, but also of ourselves. But I also want to talk about a correlation to that. And I think this is a very appropriate acknowledgement for how we mother and for what our mothers, all of our mothers, living or transitioned, living with us on earth or still living with us in another space, how they have assisted us in having a better life and what we can remember about what they taught us is our mothers didn't just teach us what to they didn't just teach us the effects we want to have. They taught us the causes we want to create. So let's talk for just a minute about this equation between cause and effect. This was actually a very, very important teaching that Yeshua had 2,000 years ago, and in his many communications with me. He would say, as you sow, so shall you reap. In other words, if you water the grass, it will grow. And we all know that. We've learned that. It's a basic, fundamental part of our human education, but some people have learned it a little better than others. But unfortunately, what we've overly focused on is what we want to get from it. We think about the effects we want to get. We think about, and actually when we make up a list, whether we're a kid making up a list for Santa Claus, or we're a little older making up a birthday list to give to our parents, or we're getting into our early 20s and we're making a list, a career list about what we want to get from our life. We're making up these lists, and all of these lists consist of the effects we want to receive. How much do we want to get paid? What do we want to experience? Who do we want to do it with? Where do we want to live? And it's fine. I think it's an act of responsibility to be discerning about the things we want. But so often we forget about the other side of the equation, and that is, well, what do I want to cause? What do I want to cause? And you know, one of the reasons I think we fail to focus on that side of the equation, it's not because we're selfish. I actually know very few genuinely selfish people. Most people are just what I would. Most of the people that you might call selfish, I would just say, from my many experiences in counseling and teaching, they're just kind of protectively selfish. They've learned the hard way. And unfortunately, in a kind of unkind way, that if they don't take care of number one, no one else will. But, of course, that's not true. That's not true. It's just what they happen to believe. But getting back to why most people don't think about what they can cause is because we look out at this very big universe, and then we look at ourselves and we say, but I'm so small. What can I cause? We look at a very big community situation or a very big human problem or a very big national problem or a very big earth catastrophe, and we say that it's so big and I'm so little. What can I do? I can't do anything. I feel so small. You see, no one wants to face their inadequacy. We really, really don't. We really, really look the other way. And unfortunately, what we fail to discover is the power of simply causing a little happiness for someone else, of just causing a little pleasure because we smiled, of causing just a little bit of a better day, of giving somebody a little more hope. Maybe we can't afford to give them a big raise. Maybe we're an employer. We'd love to give all of our employees a raise, but our business is just rotten right now, and we can't. But we think about, you know, the hope factor I could give. If I could just give everybody 1% of an increase in earnings, you know, that would make such a difference in the way everybody feels. And what you're doing is you're focusing upon the cause factor, and the effect takes care of itself. I hope you see how that works. You see, you could have been struggling on, okay, business is rotten, the economy's rotten, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through the next month? Worry, 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 fester, fester, fester. Or pray, pray, pray. You work on your affirmation list. You work on your faith, but your focus is all on the effect. What happens when you focus on effects all the time is that you become an effect. I want you to get that. You become an effect. Now, just switch the equation and you think about, okay, what can I do to cause a little more happiness, a little more hope, a little more of everything good. And you don't even put your attention on the effect. You just focus on the cause. Isn't that really what your mother taught you to do? Isn't that really what your mother taught when you wanted a pet? Didn't she first ask you, can you take care of it? If you wanted to know how life worked, didn't she first give you a seed, let you plant it, let you nurture it so you could see yourself actually causing a seed to grow? If you had trouble in school, didn't she go and help you get to the root cause of what it was and get you off of that effect point? The one thing your mother did not want is for you to be the effect of anything. She wanted you to be a great cause in life. Now, this is also what our Mother Earth wants for us as the human race. This is what Mother God wants for us as the human race. This is what our mothers all want for us, is for us to be the cause, for us to be the answer, for us to focus upon the cause of that which will bring good in the world. And, of course, Yeshua, in all of his teachings, focused us upon faith. You know, the interesting thing about faith is it takes a great deal more faith to be cause than it does to focus on effect. If you're focusing upon effect, you can actually put that on a list. You can put it on a budget. You could even get a little manipulative about it. You could save your money, and you could actually create a little bit of security and insurance about the fact that you're going to get that thing you want. But when you shift to the cause equation, boy, you don't know what will happen. And Tom, this gets back to the greater part of what I couldn't answer in your question about, shall we bless someone who hasn't asked for it? Well, the thing is, when you set something in motion, you take the cause point. You have to be willing to let whatever needs to happen, happen. And that takes faith. Now, this person you blessed may not be at all in a position to receive that blessing. But someone, somewhere, received that blessing. And someone, somewhere, will be grateful that this person you blessed somehow caused you to bless them. See, what you did is you set in motion a cause-cause chain. And this is also what Yeshua taught us about when he would talk about casting bread on water. Not all cause and effect is linear. Sometimes you just have to cause. You just have to create a cause and know that the cause will be a cause, will be a cause. And somewhere through all the chains of causality, the effects will come back for your harvest. And you don't always know where it will come from. It may come in an obvious way. It may come in a very non-obvious way. So dare to be cause. And that's actually what I really want to give you today is in your prayers include also those things you would like to cause. It's still fine to pray for all the effects you would like to receive. But don't forget to pray for something you would like to cause. And don't be afraid to cause it. Don't be afraid to be the answer. Don't be afraid to be here for an important reason. And you may not know how that's going to work out or what effects will come from it. But I guarantee you, this is what your mother would want. And so we thank you, Mom, on all levels, from Mom God to Mom Earth to the mom we knew who cradled us, and all the people in between who've mothered us, our teachers, our nurses, our friends, our sisters, and our daughters who, in turn, mothered us back. Thanks, Mom. We embrace you by embracing the hope and the desire to be the cause in the world that will bring the answers we seek. Now, we start the blessing, and you all know what to do because we started it this way. Shoes and socks off. Please be in your seated position. Allow your attention to fall into your heart and pray the prayer of your heart, but also dare to pray for what you would like to cause. Yeshua, we thank you for giving us the courage to be a cause in the world. We know that it takes courage to be a cause in the world, and sometimes the consequences of that cause, of setting anything in motion, may in the short range be unpleasant. Someone may snap our head off. Someone may be ungrateful. Someone may feel interfered with. We may slide down the hill trying to stop an avalanche. But we know that the ultimate result of being a cause in the world is that we are flowing the power of God. It is a great blessing, a blessing beyond description to receive the grace of God. But it is a privilege beyond description to be a conduit for the power of God. We dare to ask for both. As we surrender our life, we ask that we be blessed by God's grace, God's kindness, and God's enrichment to answer all of the prayers of our heart, whether to receive or to give. And we thank you for being our friend, our brother, our assistant, our guide, and our inspiration to greater enlightenment. Amen. Your transmission is complete. I now ask that you go and rest and assimilate and be at peace, be at one with God. Rest for at least 7 minutes and allow the energy to travel into every cell of your body and every level of your being. God bless, and bye-bye from me.